This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. We begin this hour with a look at a national public health problem that has spared no community in America: the availability of opioid narcotics by prescription that leads to addiction to heroin, which is more available on the street than ever. Here's a comment from one of you in Portland, Oregon. I lost my brother in 2007. Now I care for my grandchild as my own child struggles with addiction. Heroin is hell. Or this from Sandy Hook, Connecticut. It has taken my 21-year-old son from being a promising athlete to living in homeless shelters.
My name is Ava. I'm calling from Canton, Massachusetts. I was influenced or impacted by heroin 3 years ago this last Friday. My fiancé, Michael, passed away from a heroin overdose, something he'd been struggling with, trying to find help for. And when he did call a rehab, he called over and over and over, being told the same thing: call back, we don't have a bed. And then when he finally did find a place that had a bed, he was told that he could not be admitted into the rehab because he'd no longer had heroin in his system. He died about 5 days after that last phone call.
This is Diane from Cape Cod. Former students from every high school class for the last 10 years are dead from overdoses. And so many others are in jail for drug-related crimes. It is devastating.
From Albany, Oregon, it killed the man I wanted to marry and grow old with. Lynn, Massachusetts. I grew up in Lynnfield, Mass., a town of maybe 9,000, and by the time I was 16, I had three friends die opioid-related deaths. I'm now 26 and have yet to go a full year without someone I knew or I know dying from it. And here's a comment from East Merrimack, New Hampshire. I've lost too many peers to this crisis. You can't walk down the streets without addicts begging. Home and car break-ins are the norm now, not the exception. It is so sad, and it seems there's a lot of talking, but no action. There's been a lot of talking about a lot of issues all across New Hampshire, besides East Merrimack. Today is primary day, of course, in the Granite State, but the people who will be voting for presidential candidates today largely have a local issue on their mind. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick has been in New Hampshire, seeing just how the local issue of heroin addiction has intruded on a confused field of candidates and national political messages.
Everywhere I go to campaign, I'm meeting families who are affected by the drug problem.
The one that surprised me at the early part of my journey was the epidemic of heroin.
My older sister, Miriam, struggled her whole life with drug and alcohol addiction.
It is a tragedy for New Hampshire. It is a tragedy for my state of Vermont. It is a tragedy all over this country.
Morning.
Morning. How are you?
Great, Zach. How are you?
Good.
On Sunday morning, 2 days before the New Hampshire primary, I meet up with 29-year-old Zach Brewster in the parking lot of his church, the First Assembly of God in Auburn, just outside Manchester.
Thanks for meeting me.
Yeah, pleasure. I forgot that Ted Cruz, I think, is going to be here today.
More on Ted Cruz in just a minute. We head on in, and on the way, we run into Zach's boss from the Teen Challenge Christian Drug Rehabilitation Program, where he works.
What's up, Aaron?
What's up, buddy?
This is my boss.
You only listen to me half the time.
Inside, we're surrounded by people who Zach knows. The church is a big part of his life. He credits his religious faith for his recovery from heroin. It's a tight-knit group. During the service, two young addicts, they call them students, from Teen Challenge give testimony, then they strip down and are baptized in a pool built right into the stage. Heroin isn't new in New Hampshire, but its impact now is unprecedented. Nearly 400 fatal overdoses from heroin and other opiates like prescription fentanyl in 2015. And that says nothing about the other costs like medical, incarceration, lost work. While we're waiting for things to get going, I ask Zach what the epidemic looks like from street level.
The bottom line is that the heroin is better. You know, it's better quality. And the fentanyl, yeah, is a part of it, but it's cheap now. It's cheaper than a pack of cigarettes. It's easier to find than weed. You know, as far as all the overdoses and stuff, just been a lot more potent over the last 5 years.
Back to Ted Cruz now, who was indeed at the service. New Hampshire's opiate epidemic has forced presidential candidates to talk about addiction during the campaign. Some have offered specific policies. Others have offered empathy. Earlier, you heard how Ted Cruz told a debate audience about his half-sister, who died of an overdose. On This Morning, Cruz talks about his parents' religious conversion.
I was born and as a small child lived up in Canada. You may have heard that. And when I was a little boy, my parents were not Christians. And both of them were drinking far too much.
They do a little politics on This Morning, too. It is the season, after all. Here's Pastor Gary Hamilton.
When I vote for him on Tuesday, I'm not voting just for Senator Cruz. I'm voting for the kingdom of God.
It's fair to say Zach is a big believer in the kingdom of God part. As to whether Ted Cruz represents it, well, Zach's not super into politics. He is, however, into sharing the full, unedited story of his addiction, and he was into it before the national media descended on New Hampshire. In the car riding back to his parents' house, Zach talks about how he was using drugs by age 12, buying cocaine at 17, hooked on heroin at 20. Multiple arrests, a couple of felonies knocked down to misdemeanors, 7 months in jail, not to mention a near-death overdose.
We've had a lot of people that we know die from heroin overdoses that were either students in the program or family members of people in the program, so family members of staff. So it's been tough.
Remember Zach's boss, Aaron, the one who said hi to us in the church parking lot before? Zach says just 2 weeks ago, his wife died from an overdose. Aaron was at work the next day.
Oh, great. Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Joanne.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. More than welcome. Come on in. Had a nice ride up. At least it's nice and sunny. That's what I heard. Pretty exciting.
Zach's parents are Bill and Joanne Brewster. They're into politics, but typical New Hampshire, not terribly interested in promises and definitely not help from politicians. Bill and Joanne are both medical professionals. He's a doctor and a top executive at New Hampshire's largest insurance company. She's a nurse, and as sophisticated and as connected as they are, they had a nightmare getting their insurance company, who they worked for at the time, to cover Zach's rehab. It wound up costing tens of thousands of dollars. Here's Bill.
You don't get a whole lot of support if you say, look, I'm really fighting to get my heroin-addicted child help. People go, oh, yeah, okay. If you say, I'm really fighting with this payer to get coverage for cancer therapy, people would think, you know, they'd back you up. Well, call my friend who's a senator.
The Brewsters eventually won an appeal against the insurance company, but money is only a small part of it. Again, the Brewsters don't think any of the candidates in New Hampshire right now are going to grind out a policy that makes the opiate problem go away. They're more about the attention they can shine on it. And to that end, the candidates at least talking about it is just fine. Here's Joanne.
I think years ago, probably candidates would have never mentioned that because that would have been a really black mark on them. But today, it is coming out and people are accepting it and realizing that, hey, it's just not that poor homeless kid on the street. These are people it's dealing in all of our lives.
Of course, there's a risk that when the party is over tomorrow, when everyone is packed up and moved on to Nevada and South Carolina, that New Hampshire and its opiate problem will be forgotten by the candidates and by the national media.
These kinds of discussions, what will continue to happen after the politicians are gone, hopefully we've infected them with a little bit of they got to think about it, if not just in their own life even. And that, you know, with politicians actually talking almost like they're bragging and making other people feel comfortable that, you know what, it's not me. There is hope. Mm-hmm. And these are just people. These are somebody's kids.
Back in the car, Zach also worries about the political show moving on.
It's a tough thing. Yeah, when everybody goes away, what's going to happen? Who knows? You know, I would like to hope that the attention will carry, you know, to the next states and the next states, and more and more people will start to pay a little bit more attention to it.
In the meantime, Zach says he's gearing up for a transfer to full-time college classes. He's gunning for medical school and possibly psychiatry. He says that even though he's very religious, he believes in what he calls the secular world of medicine and in the power of hardcore behavioral therapy. His main mission, he says, is to be a success and never be far from home, so that long after the attention is gone, addicted people can look at him and see that there is real recovery and real hope. I'm Todd Zwillick in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, for The Takeaway.
This is
Kelly from Oviedo, Florida. My older brother has used heroin on and off for years. He has a chronic pain issue from an old accident, and when the oxycodone is gone, heroin is his next best thing. He has lost a marriage, a house, and had many friends die from the use of heroin. He has cheated our mother, stolen, and lied to get money for the drug.
Official statistics say 500,000 people reported using heroin in 2013, but the real number is likely far higher. Do you know one of those people? Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm a recovering heroin addict. I've been clean for 11 months, but it's still difficult. I saw my childhood friends ruining their lives, saw several good people die. It's terrible, but that's what it took for me to take the initiative to get clean. I moved to the other side of the country, away from my friends, family, and girlfriend. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, but I know it was worth it, and I wouldn't wish heroin withdrawals on my worst enemy.
My name is Mia. I was born and raised in the Bay Area. Heroin entered my community in 2007 when I left for college. I was so surprised. Drugs had always been around, but nothing that serious. Before, I'd only seen heroin in rock and roll movies. I spent the next year trying to help friends stop using. Looking back on it, I blame it on the popularity of OxyContin years prior. I had to leave those friends behind because it was too emotionally draining and heartbreaking to watch. College provided an escape for me that they never got or pursued. I'm not even sure if they're still alive or what happened to them.
McKinney, Texas. I lost a cousin to overdose and several friends are recovering addicts. I know for sure that at least one started with prescriptions, and when she couldn't get those anymore, she switched to needles. It is terrifying and heartbreaking.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. My beautiful niece, Christine, died just over 2 years ago of a heroin overdose. She was 21 years old. She really, really, really wanted to get well. She needed long-term treatment and care that was simply unavailable to her, and I miss her very much every day.
Burlington, Vermont. A large amount of fentanyl-laced heroin made its way into our state in 2015 and killed several people from my high school. I'm 26 years old, and I've lost more high school friends and acquaintances from heroin than from any other cause of death. I just hope it stops.
This is Emily from Portland, Oregon. My brother started using heroin when he was 16 in the late 1990s. I was only 7 or 8 at the time. He was one of the most academically brilliant people you'll ever meet. He's also incredibly witty and likable. But heroin and addiction have led to manipulation and delusion over the years. He was in prison for about 12 years and released on parole for a year before he lost control of his emotions and life again, where he turned back to heroin. He took a gun and robbed a small business. He's currently waiting trial to see if the state will give him a mandated program or send him back to prison. It's the saddest thing I'll ever have to deal with, to think I'll never have the brother I was supposed to have. Heroin robs you of your loved ones, and chances are you'll never get them back.
Where will this issue be in the 2016 election? Thank you all for sharing your personal stories. Keep them coming, though. 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number, and you can always comment at thetakeaway.org.